This is Grace in Focus. Hello and welcome. My name is Lucas Kitchen. I'm with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are currently wrapping up a series about Dallas Theological Seminary's teaching on salvation from 1965 to 1990. And in this, the last of this series, we're going to examine Zane Hodge's view of eternal salvation. And this is a part two of that examination. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're discussing what Dallas Seminary taught about salvation between 1965 and 1990, which is the subject of an article I wrote that's in the spring 2020 issue of the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, which is a journal that we publish. And it's basically titled Dallas Theological Seminary on Salvation. You can get it at our website or you can get it on Amazon. Well, I talked about four professors, and you had three of them, and you've heard all four of them
right
teach. Those were John Walver, J. Dwight Pentecost, Charles Ryrie, and Zane Hodges. And they were selling hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of copies of their books during
right
this period. So influencing lots of people and really teaching a lot of people about salvation. But we've found that in some cases they were sending a mixed message about what you needed to believe, what was the condition of salvation. You can find passages, especially in Walvoord and Ryrie, you can find passages where they're very clear. It's by faith apart from works. But then when it came down to defining what faith is and getting into the nuances of that, you have other passages where they say, no, you need this two-coupon ticket to heaven. That was Ryrie's illustration in the Ryrie Study Bible. You need faith and works, and either one all by itself is ineffectual. You need both together in order to get this two-coupon ticket to heaven. How do you reconcile that with saying it's by faith apart from works? I don't know. I see that as a contradiction in what
right
they're teaching. Well, the last person we were talking about, and we began talking about him last episode, is Zane Hodges, who was your mentor both in school and outside of school. You went to church together, and he was one of the board members of our ministry,
right?
And we published his books. So far, how does Hodges differ from the other authors? On the content of saving faith, he's definitely different.
Right. You saw with Dr. Pentecost that he was really saying about the same thing, pretty close, although he would use the accepting Christ as Savior language that Hodges doesn't tend to use. But on the other hand, I think he's clearer than Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Ryrie on the issue of works. He's pointing out that, yes, good works should follow, but they're not a necessary condition of everlasting life, and they're not even guaranteed. A life of fullness of good works is not guaranteed. Of course, even with Dr. Ryrie and Dr. Walvoord, I think if you press them, they would have said that failure was possible in the Christian life and that there would be a lot of good works, but exactly how many, they're not going there.
Well, for the content of faith, Hodges used the illustration of the woman at the well, and he also used the illustration of Jesus' conversation with Martha. And he basically hones in on a couple truths. He says not all facts about God are saving facts. The saving facts seem to be that you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and the Christ means, or the Savior means, that he is the one who guarantees the eternal destiny of the believer.
Right. This leads into the whole question of the condition of salvation, right?
Right. And the condition of salvation for Hodges is pretty clear. It's just believing.
And not even continuous believing, which some people would say. There's a quote you have here. I believe this is from Absolutely Free. He says, a single moment of simple childlike trust was all that God required.
Yes.
And he says, there is no such thing as believing the saving message without possessing eternal life at the same time.
Right. That's very clear. I mean, I think I would read that and I would think, okay, I just need to believe once and that's it. My eternal destiny is settled.
Right.
In the Nature of Faith section, I quote him as saying this, but the superb simplicity of all this, the salvation by faith,
right,
is lost on many modern evangelicals. Indeed, they are frightened by it. And they are tempted to evade it by invoking some special definition of saving faith. And in the process, they cloud beyond hope the biblical doctrine of faith and distort in a tragic way the biblical message of grace. So this is something that you and I talk about all the time. People will say on the one hand, they believe in salvation by faith apart from works. But then when you ask them what faith is, things get extremely cloudy, and often they redefine faith to include good works.
Well, there's even several books by Dr. Matthew Bates where he argues that faith is allegiance.
Right, so that'd be a great example of that. He's supposed to be an evangelical.
Right.
And he's written two books now where he's defining faith as basically works, as allegiance to Jesus.
Right. In order to be born again, you must make a commitment to and must follow King Jesus.
Right. That isn't that much different from what we saw in Walvoord and what we saw a little bit, but especially in Walvoord and a little bit in Ryrie, that genuine faith does good works. Genuine faith is going to produce works.
You can see how people who would accept this idea that good works must follow and necessarily follow could be led into the view that faith is allegiance.
Right. So in Absolutely Free, Hodges clarified what it meant to believe. And he said, it is an unproductive waste of time to employ the popular categories of intellect, emotion, or will as a way of analyzing the mechanics of faith. But as I show in my article, that is how Ryrie and Walvoord both describe faith, that there's an emotional component, that there's a will component, that it's an act of the whole man. And Hodges is saying that's unproductive to think about faith that way. And he says the Bible knows nothing about an intellectual faith as over against some other kind of faith, like emotional or volitional. What the Bible does recognize is the obvious distinction between faith and unbelief.
That's good.
So what's his point there? The Bible doesn't talk, you can't find any passage where an apostle or someone says, well, this is emotional faith, and this is intellectual faith, and this is whole person faith. That doesn't appear in the text. What you have is faith and unbelief.
No, when Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this, John 11:26 B, he isn't asking about her emotions. He isn't asking about her feelings.
Right.
He isn't asking about her commitment. He isn't asking anything about her volition. He's saying, are you convinced that anyone who believes in me is guaranteed to be raised on the last day and guaranteed that they will never die spiritually?
Right.
And her answer is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Right.
So to believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem is not a different kind of faith than believing that Jesus guarantees the eternal destiny of the believer. It's all faith. The question is, what's the object?
So he says, what faith really is, in biblical language, is receiving the testimony of God. It is the inward conviction that what God says to us in the gospel is true. That and that alone is saving faith.
That's good.
So if you believe that what God says is true, you have faith. And if you believe in what Jesus says about eternal life is true, that's saving faith. And he says, everything depended on the truth of what she believed. It was not at all a question of what kind of faith she had. She either believed this or she didn't. It was as simple as that. I think that's a really important point, because some people will say there are two components to having saving faith. There's what you believe and there is how you believe it. And you can believe the right thing, but you can believe it in the wrong way. And if you believe it in the wrong way, with not enough emotion, with not enough willingness, with not enough commitment, with not enough whatever, you can still go to the lake of fire when you die. And Hodges is saying that is nonsense. All the saving power comes from the truth of what she believed, not how she... There's not different kinds of faith, he says.
Right.
Everything depended on the truth of what she believed. It was not at all a question of what kind of faith she had. She either believed this or she didn't. So when Jesus in John 3:16 promises that whosoever believes has everlasting life, you either believe that or you don't. It doesn't matter how you believe. There is no how.
Right.
There's no how of believing it. You either believe it's true, you either receive that testimony as true, or you don't.
Right.
So that's his point there. I find that pretty clear.
Yeah, and John Robbins went on to talk about this in some articles with the Trinity Review, where he talked about the fact that all faith is propositional.
Right.
It's simply a matter of being persuaded of the saving message, which is that Jesus guarantees the eternal destiny of the believer.
Right. Now, when it comes to lordship salvation, clearly Hodges was against it. I mean, that's the subtitle of his book, Absolutely Free. You know, it's all about refuting lordship salvation.
Right.
He says this is the view that a commitment to obedience must be a part of true spiritual conversion. And of course, he rejects that. It's by faith, totally apart from works.
Right.
Just to summarize, of the four, I think J. Dwight Pentecost and Zane Hodges were very clear that salvation is believing in Jesus for eternal salvation. And the only condition to have that is just to believe in Jesus for it.
Right.
And my judgment is, and don't anyone throw tomatoes or eggs at me. You know, I really admire these guys. But my judgment is, in terms of Walvoord and Ryrie, you can find a mixed message. You know, you can find some places where they'll say it's by grace through faith apart from works. And you'll find other places where they start defining faith as, well, there's different kinds of faith. And some kinds of faith are saving. Other kinds of faith are not saving. You need this two-coupon ticket to heaven. Or you need to believe all kinds of different things about Jesus as part of the content of saving faith. And it gets very murky and unclear about what you need to believe, how you need to believe it, how much you need to believe it in order to be saved. Even the kind of salvation is not entirely clear.
Right, I agree. And when you wrote this article, I didn't try to soften it. I didn't try to edit it down to where it sounded better for Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Ryrie. And on this radio program, same thing.
Right.
Because I think you're correct. Although I think very highly of Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Ryrie, I also think there's a fair amount of confusion in some of the things they wrote, and that's a shame.
Right.
We don't need to follow the confusion. We need to follow their clarity.
Yes. Stick with the good stuff. I think this is a reflection of the churches. I mean, these guys were teaching hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, their theology, and their confusion might have become your confusion. You know, the mist in the pulpit becomes a fog in the pew. Is that it? Maybe you've been hearing a mixed message of what exactly you need to believe to be saved and what is the condition of salvation.
Well, the Apostle Paul, when asked, what must I do to be saved, gave this answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. That's a clear statement. The Lord Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. John 6:47. It really is that simple. And Sean, I really like your study of four popular professors from Dallas Seminary between 65 and 90, because it really highlights the need to clearly say, if you simply believe in Jesus, apart from any works before or after your faith, you are born again once and for all, and your salvation is final the very moment you believe, because once you're saved, you're always saved.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin questions and answers. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.